our regular wonderful seasonal produce and so much more with arts and crafts. We're also kicking off a kids program today, The Power of Produce. So come join us. This is Tricia Fullerton with the Emporia Farmers Market.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And a very pleasant Saturday morning. Welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongBineAuto.com. Tim Miller in studio with you as Greg Ray wraps up his vacation. He will be back with us next Saturday and actually on sports on Monday. So a couple weeks of R&R for Greg, well-deserved. And again, he'll be back here next week. It's going to be a really good show here this morning as we will be announcing our Emporia High male and female athletes of the year, also our Emporia High coach of the year. We have two of them with us in studio today. We hope to get our other winner in next Saturday. We'll be talking here briefly with our winners. Also, later on in the show, we'll have Jesse Newell on with us. Of course, Jesse, a native Emporian, a graduate from the University of Kansas School of Journalism. Jesse, with a very nice career, just recently named the Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star. So we'll talk with Jesse a little bit later on here in the hour. But first up is our Emporia High male, female athletes of the year and coach of the year. Let me just give you a little explanation of how this works. We get nominees from the high school, and we take those nominees, and then we put a ballot together and take it out to our Emporia High Booster Club members, our sponsors, and they vote. So this is a vote of our sponsors, and had some very deserving nominees. I'm going to go through the nominees first before I tell you who won. On the guy side, we had Gilberto Aguilera, cross country and track, Jacob Ortega, basketball player, Brooke Souter, golfer, and then Cam Geitz, football, swimming, and baseball. On the female side, we had Riley Peak, volleyball, basketball, and track, Avery Gutierrez, cross country, basketball, and swimming, Cadence Vincent, gymnastics and diving, Megan Olson, wrestling and track, and also Gracie Gilpin, volleyball, basketball, and softball. On the coaches' side, our nominees are Rick Eckert, of course, girls and boys golf coach, Keaton Tuttle, the football coach, Bo Welch, boys basketball, Carolyn Dorsey, girls basketball, Michael Robinson, cross country, and Ping Wayne, volleyball. And our winners this year on the coaches' side, Ping Wayne, the high school volleyball coach. We'll visit with Ping here in just a little bit, get some information from her, a little background and how things went in just year one as the high school volleyball coach. Our male athlete of the year, and again, he's not with us this week, but we hope to have him in studio next week. That's Cam Geitz. And then our female athlete of the year is Gracie Gilpin. So congratulations to all of our athletes and, of course, our coach of the year. We have Gracie and Coach Wang with us here in the studio. We'll start with you, Gracie. First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking before we got on the air. Man, 4 years of high school already done, and you'll be out at Cali County here for too long. Boy, it went quick for you.
Yes, it did.
So let's just go through some of the things. This is a chance for you, I know, to talk about yourself. Sometimes that's not the most comfortable thing, but I'm going to give you a chance to brag a little on yourself. Just talk a little bit about the honors that you received during your athletic career.
Well, looking back at it, I have 11 varsity letters throughout my whole high school career and 8 all-league nominations, so I think that was pretty cool, but I think it was good because I had great teammates and coaches coaching me throughout it and helping me. So,
now, you played, of course, team sports with basketball, also softball and volleyball, and a pretty good run here your senior year. I mean, volleyball goes to state, basketball goes to state, so, man, pretty good senior year, huh?
Yes.
So exciting. So I know obviously those are probably your best memories, but can you throw out some other things, maybe just some memories that you've had that have stuck in your mind over these last 4 years?
I think a great memory from, well, I'm going to say senior year because it's the best year, but winning Glacier's Edge tournament, I thought that was just really special.
Now, unfortunately, you win Glacier's Edge, but no pool to dive in, right?
Is that? Yeah. Well, we went to the rec center, so kind
of. Of course, for those of you who don't know, if you win the Glacier's Edge, Portia High team does, and they all jump into the pool as a little ceremony at the end. So, well, at least you got to go to the rec center and do that. So, Gracie, you're off to college. Again, I said Cali, that's where you're headed.
Yes.
To play basketball. What went into that decision?
Well, after looking at through all my options, that place just felt like the right fit. It felt good. And especially just with COVID, it was just very hard on athletes and coaches this year. And I just felt like that was the right pick and see where that will take me to help develop my basketball skill and see where I'll go from there.
So basketball, I mean, is that your favorite sport?
Yes.
Or sometimes, you know, it's a kind of odd question, I know, because you picked it to play it, but sometimes athletes pick the sport they think they can have the most success at, even though it may not be their favorite. So it worked out best of both worlds for you, huh? All right. So has Cali given you any indication what their expectation level is?
Yes, they have. So pretty much the same thing as for my high school team, just kind of carry that on and just keep developing my skill and bring that over there.
So now you're not for exactly sure when you need to report, right? Now it's still kind of haven't looked that far ahead yet, huh?
No, sometime late August, so.
Okay, yeah. All right. So then what does your summer look like?
They sent me workouts and just like basketball, and I'm also going to be playing on a traveling team still, so just kind of get, so I'm still playing basketball and I just need to get in the gym and keep getting better.
Will you miss the other sports? I mean, you're going to have to now focus on one. Is that going to be a little different for you?
Very different. It's like my summer just feels so much more open now without them, but I'm going to miss them because I've been playing basically my whole life with the same people, but yeah.
What about field of study? Have you thought about what you want to do?
I'm going to go into engineering at Cali. So.
Engineering, all right.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what do you hope then, that when it's all said and done, what do you hope to do down the road?
Just become some type of engineering, kind of just look at different pathways at Cali and just kind of see what I like the best.
Okay, very, very good. Other interests outside of sports, what do you like to do away from playing? Or is that pretty much what your hobbies are?
Yeah, taking up most of my time over this years, but I would just say like hanging out with friends, family, just being active and just getting outside, especially when it's nice weather. So,
talk a little bit about your family. Give us a little bio on family life.
So I have an older brother. He's a year older than my mom. She's a plant manager at Hills Pet, and then my dad, he works with Kansas Wheat Association up in Manhattan, so.
All right, very good. So, man, parents will be empty nesters, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. No younger siblings.
No.
All right. Well, Gracie, again, congratulations. Honor well deserved. And best of luck to you at Cali.
Thank you.
All right. So, Gracie Gilpin is our Female Athlete of the Year at Emporia High. Turn our attentions now to Coach Wang. And Coach Wang, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
All right, now this is what? You just finished year one at Emporia High, correct?
Yes, correct.
So what went into your decision to jump into the high school ranks?
I actually stepped down from Emporia State volleyball team in 2017, and I am the club director here in Emporia, and I always wanted to help these young girls with their volleyball. And then the job is open, so I applied. I know most of the girls through club.
Okay. So yeah, so just to give people an idea of your background, can just give us a little idea of your bio, what you did before you got to Emporia High.
I actually played in China.
Okay.
That's where I came from. My husband is Bing. We came here for education, and we had a scholarship playing volleyball, college volleyball. And when we all graduated, we just settled in Emporia. He started with assistant coach, and I started with grad assistant, and both of us got the job here, and then we just settled here.
And your husband, he's still head coach at Emporia State, correct?
Yes, he is.
And then so then how long would you have been his assistant?
I was his assistant for 12 years.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Pretty good. So you have long time. So working with your spouse, how did that go?
Yeah. It works fine. I mean, it worked fine. Volleyball was the only thing we talk about. Even now, we just talk about volleyball at home.
So you just wrapped up year one, and obviously a very successful season. The girls qualify for state. Just talk a little bit about the team and what they were able to accomplish.
Yeah, these girls earned it. I mean, I'm so proud of them. They worked really hard throughout the year. We actually started last summer with open gyms. I can tell they wanted so badly, and they have their hearts put in. The whole season, they practiced every time, I can say 100%. And then I can tell they pushed themselves. And I had six seniors. I mean, I know all of them. They really stepped up and helped with the team.
Now, will any of the six seniors go on and play college volleyball?
Yes. Actually, my daughter Grace, she's a setter. She's going to play at Emporia State. Reddy Peak is going to play at Emporia State. Yes.
Right, so
and Gracie here is going to play college basketball.
Right. There you go. So, yeah, she went the basketball route.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
So, two of the six will go on and play volleyball in college. Very, very
and
good.
And Hattie Cooper is going to run track at Emporia State. So.
Oh. Good class,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Very good class. So for you, was it much of an adjustment going from coaching college to coaching high school, or is volleyball volleyball?
No, it's actually easier because I know all of them, and I coach them in club. So it was a smooth transition. That's what I think.
So what about the future of Emporia High Volleyball? What do things look like next season?
I still have a lot of talent. We're going to be young. There are three seniors, and then everybody else is going to be sophomores. We're young, but I think we had four open gyms already. I can tell they start pushing themselves. And
so what does your summer schedule look like?
Just twice a week with volleyball open gyms, and we have summer league going on right now, just playing every Monday in Lebo, and we have a couple one-day tournaments in the summer. And I also take the team to the KU team camp this year.
Okay.
I don't think with COVID and everything, they've never been to a team camp. So we're very excited about this.
Well, that's great that they get a chance to do those things now. You know, with COVID, it just, you know, so many things they weren't able to do. And
right.
Now that things are opening up a little bit.
Yeah.
Grace, you kind of missed out on that, unfortunately,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So young team next year, but some promise, huh?
Yeah.
Very, very good. All right. So I asked Gracie about things she liked to do outside of sports. What about you? Any interests outside of volleyball, or is that pretty much what you like to do, Coach?
It's just pretty much volleyball.
All right. So what was the experience like coaching your daughter? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did. With my older one, I started coaching her when she's 10 years old. Of course, there are some head-to-head arguments, but I think sometimes I don't see her as my daughter on the court. She doesn't see me as a coach on the court. I think that's a problem. But I think it worked pretty well. Yeah. Okay. And now I'm going to coach my younger one, who's going to be a freshman in high school. So.
Well, this has really truly been a family affair for you, huh?
Yeah.
Coach with your husband, coach your daughters, very, very good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, again, congratulations to you two. Very, very deserving. I appreciate the fact you guys were able to come in and enjoy your summers. And, of course, Gracie, best of luck at Cali.
Thank you.
All right. So Gracie Gilpin, our female athlete of the year from Emporia High, Ping Wang, is our coach. Coach of the Year from Emporia High School. And again, hopefully we'll be able to get Cam Geitzen next week and visit with Cam a little bit, as he is our male athlete of the year. Let's go ahead and take our first break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll come back. We'll track down Jesse Newell, who is the Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, native Emporian. We'll get with Jesse and talk with him for a little bit. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back here to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com. Tim Miller in studio. Of course, again, Greg Ray enjoying a little R&R on vacation. Of course, he'll be back with us on Monday, and then we'll return to Sports Talk next Saturday. Time now to bring in Jesse Newell. He's on our Sutherland studio line. Sutherland's free in-store pickup, available on thousands of items when you buy online. Jesse Newell, good morning.
Hey, Tim, how's it going?
It's going well. Hey, I appreciate you carving out some time and giving us a few minutes just to kind of catch up with you. I was kind of a short notice, but you were kind enough to join me this morning.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. I know we'll probably talk a little bit of Chiefs here. I just moved over to the Chiefs beat at the Kansas City Star, but it was funny. I saw Mitch Holthus in the hallway here a couple weeks ago and was chatting with him. I said, hey, the first time I remember hearing you and hearing your voice on a weekly basis was Saturday Morning Sports Talk growing up. Checking it with Steve Souter and Tim Miller and all the guys. So he kind of laughed, and it was pretty good. But yeah, it's been great up here at the Star, and like I said, moving over to the Chiefs beat after 14 years on KU, so it's been a little bit different here in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I was wanting to just kind of get your timeline. And as I mentioned, Jesse, native Emporia High grad, and went off to KU and majored in journalism there. Jesse, just give us a little bio, what you've been doing.
Yeah, so I've been up here at the Kansas City Star now for about 6 years, going into the seventh year. And you're right, I was grew up in Emporia, only lived in Emporia and Lawrence here my entire life. But graduated from KU, came back to Emporia, worked for the Gazette for a couple years with Michael Astrid. He was the sports editor here at the time. And then went on up to the Lawrence Journal World, where I covered KU some, then the Topeka Capital Journal, and then the last 6 years on the KU beat with the Kansas City Star, which included, you know, covering them in the national title game this past year. And there was an opening for a Chiefs beat reporter, so just took that a couple weeks ago, and it's been different. It's been interesting because, it's been 14 years. That seems like a long time when you put it that way. But 14 years on the KU beat, whether it was with Lawrence or Topeka or Kansas City. It's been fascinating, interesting, meeting new people, getting to talk in a different setting and trying to kind of learn the ropes of a different place has been good. It's been recharging and fascinating. And obviously when you are covering a team that has Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, that sort of thing, it's not going to be boring at any stretch. So, yeah, it's been good so far and good change up here at this point in time. But, it's been a cool journey so far, and we'll see what happens with the Chiefs season, because I'm sure everybody around these parts is interested to see how that's all going to turn out.
Well, Jesse, give us is it going to be a little different for you? I mean, with of course, when you're covering KU, you're doing basketball, football, a variety of things. With the Chiefs, that's your focus. Does it change up anything for you as far as the job is concerned?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing is I've just been trying to cram how much I know about football here in the last few weeks, just to make sure that I've got that covered. And, you know, I covered KU football, but it just really wasn't ever the main focus. Obviously, with what people care about around these parts, it's going to mostly be basketball when it comes to KU, and that's for good reason. You know, I had to cover, KU football along with KU basketball, but the fan base, I would say, is 3 to 4 to 5 times more for basketball just because of the success they've had. They'll sell that program historically has been, you know, a tradition-rich program, that sort of thing. So, yeah, just trying to learn all I can, whether that's YouTube videos or chatting with people online or reading books. I like to write about just kind of the in-depth stuff and try to, I use the word translate, but, you know, translate that to a greater audience. Sometimes the things that, whether it's the Chiefs or KU football or whoever, you know, what they do is a little bit more complex than what you see on TV, or a little bit more complex than if you only watch something once. So I'm trying my best to learn as much as I can and get myself into that beat and understanding just even simple things like the roster, you know, who's what number and, you know, who's going to make the team, who's not. It's all kind of a cram session here in the last month or so, but I've been up to OTAs in Kansas City here for the last 3 weeks. They start mandatory mini camp, the Chiefs do next week, and then obviously training camp here coming up at the end of July. So getting my, you know, balance there, I guess you can say, and trying to learn new things and make sure that I can talk intelligently about the Chiefs. And obviously I've followed the Chiefs my whole life, but getting there on more of a deeper level so that I can write better stories and get better insight into what the Chiefs are doing this year.
Well, and what a great time to be a part of this beat. I mean, you know, you look at what they've done the last several years, 4 straight conference games. They had 2 Super Bowls mixed in there. And, boy, since Andy Reid has been there, the organization's been rejuvenated. And the window, obviously, is still very wide open for this football team. So it has to be a real exciting time for you to be covering the Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the window. I mean, I think the Tyreek Hill trade that they made this offseason, it obviously probably did not make them better for this year. Anytime you trade a guy who looks like he's on a Hall of Fame path, that's not going to make you a better team for 2022. But I think what it does is you saw so many other AFC teams like the Bills. You know, they pushed all in. They got Von Miller. They're doing making all these moves. They're trying to kind of push their timeline up. But what's going to happen probably on the back end of that is in 2 or 3 years, these other teams, because they committed all those resources forward, they're not going to have, you know, you kind of have ebbs and flows, if you will. And so for the Chiefs to trade Tyreek Hill, to get that draft capital, to pay part of Patrick Mahomes' signing bonus this year so they don't have to pay for as much of it in future years, kind of what they do is they're saying, hey, it's cool to be in the game this year, and when you have Patrick Mahomes, you're going to take a shot at every single year. But what it does for them is, they have him under long-term contract. So 5 to 7 years from now, they've got just as good of a chance to make a run at this thing as they do this year. So you're banking on, if you're the Chiefs, hey, this year you try to win the division. They've obviously had great success with that over the AFC West the past few years. But if nothing else, can you get in the playoffs? Can you give yourself a chance? Because what you're doing is you're playing the long haul. You're saying, hey, we believe that that Patrick Mahomes is going to be good for a long time, that he's going to keep them at the top of the NFL for a long time. And if you add him with some young players, you're not running into a bunch of salary cap issues, then all of a sudden it looks really rosy 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the line, where some of these other teams, when they're really trying to win right now because they haven't won a Super Bowl recently like the Chiefs have, are maybe committing a lot of resources to try to make lightning in a bottle and do everything this year. So, yeah, I think that's a really good point you make, Tim. And I likened it too some to other folks. It's kind of like if you were – I've told people, if you were covering Illinois basketball back, you know, in the mid-90s, and somebody came up to you and said, hey, how would you like to cover the Bulls? They've got this guy named Michael Jordan. That'd be pretty fun. It'd be pretty interesting to go do. And, you know, in many ways, we could sort of consider Patrick Mahomes that guy for the Chiefs. I mean, he's everything, right? I mean, he's the face of it. You know, he had this match a couple weeks ago, and he's out there, you know, shotgunning Coors Lights as he's hitting, you know, shots 10 feet from the pin. I mean, everybody seems to love him. He's part owner of the Royals, part owner of Sporting KC, part owner of the Current, and then he's just a mega superstar. I mean, I remember going on some trips with KU basketball, and I'd get in like an Uber with somebody and ask where I was from, and the first thing they'd say to me is, oh, that's Kansas City, that's Patrick Mahomes. So to have sort of this mega superstar who is young with the Chiefs, potentially could win multiple Super Bowls and is locked in for a long time, He's a story. He's a story every week. He's a story every year. He's going to be a story for the next few years. So that will be fascinating to track and to see kind of what his trajectory is over the next bit of time here and whether he can lift the Chiefs to another Super Bowl or potentially multiple Super Bowls to put him on the top of the all-time players in the NFL.
Jesse, as far as your career is concerned, I mean, in terms of goals, what you sought to do, is this kind of where ultimately you wanted to wind up, was covering a pro franchise, or did you have really any idea what you might want to do and where you might want to end up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't, you know, I always loved sports. It's funny, Tim, you probably don't remember this back. I think it was eighth grade. Me and my best friend Mike Rincon, we did a job shadowing. And what did we want to do when we grew up? And so, what we did, we went to KVOE. And I think I was with Greg for the day, and Mike might have been either with you or Ron Thomas, one of the two. But anyway, we were having a great time hanging out with you guys on sort of the shadow job shadow day.
God,
but,
Jess, you make me feel old, don't you? Why don't you?
Well, I mean, I told you I've covered KU for 14 years, so I'm feeling pretty old here too. But. Yeah, no, it was great. But that was the start of it, I guess. You know, KVOE helping me out and making me know that, you know, that's not, for one, I'm glad I didn't try to get Greg's job because he does such a great job and he didn't go anywhere. So that was a smart move on my part. And you talked about him being on vacation. I'm not sure I ever remember him on vacation. So good for him to take the week off. But yeah, I just, you know, I was batting ninth for the Legion team and or not batting, so in Emporia. So I kind of figured that, you know, playing sports, playing baseball, I loved baseball growing up, figured that might not be the path for me. But just, I realized in high school, like when I was writing stuff, I'd write papers for English class. And, you know, you'd write about some topic you weren't really interested in, and it didn't go great. I'd wake up in the middle of the night to write it or have to do it the morning of. I realized when I wrote about sports, it was fun. You know, it was something I was interested in. I liked it. And so, from that point on, you know, I was taking newspaper in high school, kind of knew that was going to be my path. I went to KU for journalism specifically for that. But, you know, I do have a photo growing up. It was when my mom took me and my brother and sister to, at the time it was Royal Stadium, on one of those stadium tours. And they took us up in the press box, and my mom shot a picture of me kind of smiling. You know, there's the big phones next to me, and it was interesting. A couple years ago, I went ahead and had somebody shoot me on that same kind of angle when I was up there covering a game. And, you know, now it's computers and those phones are gone, but it was, and it's been renovated, but it was the same sort of place. So I would have guessed probably at the time, you know, I love baseball so much. I love, you know, watching the Royals grow up. I probably would have guessed it would have been something through baseball. But, you know, what I found through KU and covering them over time, I thought that was great. And it was interesting, fascinating. It was road trips. It was, you know, getting to immerse yourself in a team. So I thought that turned out great. And then when this opportunity opened up with the Chiefs, I just thought, you know, something a little bit different, something to change it up a little bit. And I think we all sort of need that in life sometimes, just sure, to give yourself a little bit of a different view and something a little bit new. So that combined with, like I said, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and so many people care about the Chiefs. I mean, we can talk about KU basketball and the national championship and how a bunch of people, especially where I live here in Lawrence, are super happy about that. But the Chiefs just seem to me to be on another level. You know, if you're a Missouri fan or a KU fan or a K-State fan, most of those people still are caring about the Chiefs and wondering about what they do. So that was an interesting opportunity, a fascinating one I didn't think I could turn down. So, yeah, it's been great so far. It's been great to get up there and kind of immerse yourself with those people, and we'll see where it goes from here. I wouldn't envision this exact path, but I'm sure glad that I'm able to still be around sports and be fascinated by them and fascinated by the characters, the plays, and all that goes into it, and able to do this for a job, because most of the time it's still pretty cool.
Now I'm just assuming that moving to the Chiefs beat, I would guess that your travel time will be cut back a little bit, maybe around a little more.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So for now, I'm living in Lawrence and staying here, and again, we'll see how that progresses over time. If the commute or gas prices,
yeah, no kidding.
Are, you know, maybe there's reconsiderations down the line. But you're right. I mean, you think about this, and you would think, oh, well, maybe the travel would be worse. It's going to be different, but you know, some of the KU travel could be pretty dicey, if you will. You know, you think about Morgantown, West Virginia, on a Monday. To get to Morgantown, West Virginia, you have to get to Pittsburgh first, which is two flights. There's no way to get a direct flight there from Kansas City, at least not with the new airport. And then you have a two-hour drive down a snowy highway. That is not always the most safe thing to do. I remember one year it took us 8 hours to make that two-hour drive just because it was kind of a whiteout. And it was one of those where even like ESPN's Holly Rowe was tweeting from the side of the road that she needed somebody to help her pull her out of the ditch because she was trying to get to the game and the snow had gotten her vehicle. So you've got that. You've got Ames, Iowa on a random Wednesday night where you're driving up there and it's usually January and the roads might not be great, that sort of thing. So the travel will be different with the Chiefs. Obviously, they have some Thursday games, some Monday games, some Sunday games, but most of those cities are going to be a pretty direct flight from an airport. You know, you're going to Los Angeles or Las Vegas or Miami or whatever the case may be. So it'll be mostly weekend travel. It'll be mostly flights that aren't going to require you to drive a bunch afterwards. So there's good and bad with it. It'll be there's no Maui on the schedule, which obviously is one of the greatest things of it. Every 4 years that KU would go play in the Maui Invitational. And, you know, I tell everybody that would listen, you know, whatever you complain about with your job, if you are sent on the company dime to Maui, those complaints evaporate pretty quickly because that sort of thing usually ends up pretty amazing. But, yeah, it'll be different, but different places, too, and I'm looking forward to that. You know, a lot of those places out there I haven't been, and, they're just kind of different places that KU plays rather than the Chiefs. So, but the biggest thing right now is just looking straight ahead and like training camp in St. Joseph. That is going to be, 5-6 days a week for 3 straight weeks. So that'll be a grind. And I've already been told that's going to be a grind, but getting up there and making sure the Camry is ready to get back and forth a few times here over the next few weeks is going to be priority number one before the Chiefs start up their official schedule.
Again, we're visiting with Jesse Newell, a native Emporia, now the Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star. He's with us here on the Sutherland's KVOE studio line. And those of you who do follow Jesse, you do delve into some things like analytics. You of course, you like to diagram plays here or there, why they worked, why they didn't work. I imagine we'll be able to see some of that from the Chiefs. You really are into the analytics, aren't you?
Yeah, we can blame my dad on that one. my longtime math teacher in Emporia, and then did some science after that. And I've always kind of jokingly blamed him for that, where I was growing up and certain Halloweens, if one of his math students came to the door to trick-or-treat, he'd give him a ruler. That sort of thing was going on in Emporia, Kansas about 20, 25 years ago. So, no, that really is how my mind works, and it's, I kind of was the numbers guy for a long time on the KU beat, and it kind of just worked out perfectly where a lot of college basketball, these sites were popping up with advanced numbers and kind of more intelligent ways to look at the game. And so I'd always had a math background. That's kind of always been, even though it wasn't my college angle of study, it was something that I had in me and had fascinated me. But, yeah, a few years back, I started really taking interest in the play side of things and learning Bill Self's playbook, why certain things work, where guys go, and then tracking that on my computer, you know, breaking down plays, making sure I had them on file. And I think it was, for one, just fascinating to me to kind of open up this whole other side of the game that not many people are talking about or not many people understand. But two, I think it does, I like to, it's kind of translation to me. I always talk about being translating. The trick to it is to not make it as complex as the coaches make it, because they make it complex because that's their job and they're trying to win games. But, you know, for a fan, it's, you know, I'm going to keep making these KVOE references, Tim, so you're going to know that I grew up in Emporia and grew up listening to KVOE. But way back when I was growing up in the mornings, I listened to Ron Thomas and all the guys growing up. You guys had a segment, and it was the Paul Harvey segment. Mm-hmm. And he would do this 2-minute monologue, tell you all this thing going on. You think you would understand it, and then he would hit you kind of like with an uppercut of something you didn't expect. And then he'd give his famous line, you know, and now you know the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of Paul Harvey's thing. And I just think there's kind of a place here that I found with that is that, you know, I don't need to teach everybody the smash concept in football or what the route concept is doing. But what I can do is say, hey, let me make this simple for you and make you understand what Patrick Mahomes was seeing and why he would throw it in that direction, if that's the big question of the game. And I helped out with some Chiefs coverage last year, so, I mean, I thought there was an example of that in that game where the Chiefs made that crazy comeback against the Buffalo Bills in 13 seconds. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were talking about it a little bit afterwards, but you can go back and listen to the broadcast, and Patrick and Travis were talking about, hey, Travis said, hey, I see a bunch of area in front of me. I'm not going to run the route that's in the play call we just called. I'm just going to run to some open space and hit me on that. And, you know, Patrick's like, okay. And then there was a timeout called, and Patrick gets up to the line, and they kind of look at you like, are we going to freelance? Are we going to do this on the biggest play of the game? And you can hear on the broadcast Patrick say, do it, Kels. Do it, Kels. And so, sure enough, you know, biggest play of the game, Travis is like, okay, I'm going to go run this freelance route I just talked about with Patrick. And after that game, I was able to go back to the broadcast. I'd recorded it. I usually kind of rewatch some of this during the game and record if I need to. But sure enough, you can hear what Travis and Patrick were talking about. You could hear Patrick very clearly say, do it, Kels, on the CBS broadcast. And so that was my story. Like, hey, what you didn't understand about this play from 13 seconds, not only was it amazing that the Chiefs could get down into field goal range and potentially win this game with that, but here, you can hear them on the broadcast play backyard football on one of the biggest plays of their life, and here's the proof from the video. You can hear Patrick Mahomes say that. So I think that's the sort of thing where I've kind of found a niche where you're trying to make it very accessible to readers of your stuff to say, hey, here's the rest of the story. Here's what you didn't know. And there's so many platforms out there now. I mean, you can get on your iPhone, you can get highlights, you can get, you know, so much delivered to you. There's social media, all that stuff. So I think taking people a little bit deeper and giving them something they can't get anywhere else, it's pretty important in today's day and age to try to kind of find that lane, find that, because otherwise you kind of blend in with the crowd. So, yeah, you're right, Tim. I've tried to take a dive into that. And like I said, the last few weeks has been kind of a deep dive into Chiefs football, Andy Reid playbook, route concepts, all that stuff, and hopefully that'll come through in my writing to have some familiarity with that and try to translate that to readers to make sure they understand some of the main things that are happening that are making the Chiefs successful.
Well, I imagine you're going to have your work cut out for you because, as most people know, Andy Reid, one of the best offensive minds in football, I imagine that playbook's pretty thick for you.
Yeah, and they don't hand it to me either, Tim. I wish they would. They could say, hey, Jess, you know, on the beat? Okay, well, here's the playbook. You know, check in with us here in a couple weeks or so. So you got to get creative. You know, there's some books out there. There's some people studying it. There's some, honestly, some great YouTube videos from people out there, former quarterbacks, NFL quarterbacks that teach some of this language as well. So you kind of have to maneuver your way around it. And, you know, some of the knowledge I got from Bill Self and his playbook was, and I think they knew I was doing this, was you would go, and this is different in basketball, but you'd go to the game and Bill Self would make a hand signal or call out a play and you'd write it down. And then after the game, I'd go back to the game and record it and see what they did and familiarize myself with some of those actions and or call coaches that I know and say, hey, what are they doing on this play? What's going on? And so I think some of this is going to be that. Obviously, football play calls are a little bit different. You know, they can speak directly into Patrick Mahomes' ear and his helmet, so those play calls aren't as well known. But a lot of this stuff is sort of conceptual. You know what I mean? Like, you can see what they're trying to do when you rewatch the film and rewatch the players. A lot of times they're trying to flood one area to make it so that one defender can't guard two players, or they're trying to get their deep threat into a third of the field where Patrick Mahomes can hit him without any safety help. So that's the sort of thing where if you just look at this kind of on a big picture conceptual level, you can say, hey, this is what the Chiefs are trying to do, and here's how Patrick Mahomes is trying to execute it and figure it out in real time. And so I wrote one this last week about Michael Burton, the Chiefs fullback. He had 8 runs last year and got 8 first downs, and so kind of dove deep into that. Hey, how do the Chiefs do this? What are some of the wrinkles that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy put into that to make sure that Michael Burton, the fullback, has lanes to run through? You know, they use Tyreek Hill as a decoy. Sometimes they ran play action when teams committed too much to the Michael Burton run. So it's sort of this fascinating cat and mouse game that, again, you can take a deeper dive into and look into that, you know, maybe it's harder when you're just watching the games on Sundays to realize, oh, that motion they did that to clear this outside defensive end. You know, he's chasing down Tyreek Hill and Tyreek Hill doesn't have the ball. So kind of some of those small things that Andy Reid and their staff do to make it successful that you might not see on first glance that you can appreciate more on second and third watch. So that's the sort of thing that I'm sure I'll be diving into here. But like you said, Tim, we'll continue to keep looking for more and more information out there and try to figure out this playbook without actually having the playbook in my hand.
Well, I'm just amazed that, you know, of course, how covering sports has really evolved. I mean, it's not just, you know, going to the game now and doing a game story. There's so many other things that you guys in the profession are doing, and I just find it all very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, even podcasts, we have to pretend to be radio guys, too, even though you guys are the experts as well. You get into the post game, we'll do live video on that, so then we pretend to be TV guys, even if that's not our 100% area of expertise. But you're right, I mean, I think it is different from potentially what it was before, and I think so much of that, too, is just the nature of how people consume information as well. I mean, it used to be with newspapers, you know, you would have a 7 p.m. deadline, let's say. So the Chiefs would talk at 12, sit back, maybe go get yourself some lunch, come back. Okay, I got all my quotes ready. I type it up, file that thing by 6 o'clock. Okay, you're done for the night. Well, that's not how a 24-hour news cycle works anymore. You got to get it up immediately. You got to get up quickly. Okay, then you rewrite a different story. And then, okay, news breaks at 9 p.m., got to get it up at that time. So I think that's really what's changed mostly with this whole thing is just always sort of being available or ready to write something. And then, as you mentioned, Tim, just kind of dipping your hand in all sorts of different mediums and being able to at least capably or comfortably put yourself on video, put yourself on podcasts, give yourself, different ways to video analyze. I've been looking into this, working on this Telestrator tool, you know, like Tony Romo uses. I've been working on that with my computer and buying it through this outfit in England where I did a conference call with them that had to be 6 hours off, you know, to try to kind of learn different ways to do things. So, yeah, I think you're kind of always pushing yourself to always do something different, but I think that's part of the appeal of the job, too, is it's always is different. You know, I'm not waking up on any morning wondering or knowing exactly how the day is going to go or exactly where it's going to take me. So it's a cool gig, that's for sure. And like I said, as long as you keep pushing and trying to learn new things and figure out things you didn't know before, then I think it's always going to remain interesting in my mind and hopefully interesting in the readers' minds when they can check out the coverage.
Just a couple of KU things before I let you go, Jesse. Man, what a way to wrap up your coverage of KU with a national championship. Of course, to me, it was certainly improbable because I certainly did not have this team winning a national title just because of how I'd seen them play throughout the course of the season in certain situations. But, man, what a great run for them and obviously a great ending for you with regards to covering them.
Yeah, you know, 14 years. I started covering them in 2008, but right after they had won the title in the Orange Bowl. So I'd covered them a long time. I'd seen them in Final Fours and everything. But, yeah, improbable. And then, obviously, the huge rally that they had against North Carolina, which just sort of summarized their season, right? I mean, they had the big comeback against K-State. They had to grind through, like, a senior night game against Texas and had some games where they were down but not out and then probably – sort of came back. So, yeah, that was obviously not something any of us expected down the last month of the season when KU was struggling, you know, in the early portions of March. But I think it does speak to, you know, they came together at the right time. They were healthy at the right time. Obviously, Remy Martin gave them a huge boost. And they had some bracket luck coming to them. I mean, it seemed like a long time since a team in front of them in the bracket got upset or they got placed into a bracket where you thought, oh, there just isn't murderer's row here. And, you know, I said it from the beginning when the bracket came out. I said, this is the best draw KU's had in a long time. And mm-hmm. then it got better and better. You know, Iowa lost and then Auburn lost. And all of a sudden, you know, KU had a couple of these games where they didn't play that well, but they were playing against teams that, you know, frankly just weren't that good. You know, mm-hmm. Creighton without their best player and KU didn't play well and Creighton made a bunch of threes. But KU was able to survive. You know, Miami in the Elite Eight, typically, a game when you're down that much at halftime, you know, 6 or 7 points and not playing great, you might feel bad. And if KU was playing Gonzaga, that they probably don't pull it out. But they were playing Miami, and they went on a huge run. And Miami, throughout the course of the season, was a good team but not a great one. So things finally fell KU's way. And, yeah, it was fascinating to cover that sort of thing and be with them every step of the way and then sort of see the celebration that happened afterwards down there in New Orleans. So that was a very fitting end for KU, and like you said, it was it seemed like sort of a fitting way to transition a new beat as well to see KU win the national title in one, and then now see how the Chiefs are going to do in this next one.
Well, best of times, worst of times, as far as KU, you move to the football side, and of course, years and years of just awful football. Do you get the sense, though, and I know he was just there 1 year in terms of you covering him, but do you get the sense that maybe Lance Leipold's the guy that could turn this thing around for them?
Yeah, I do. I think the biggest thing with him that I mentioned, and this is kind of one of the memories I think is all going to stick out to me, covered the KU game at Iowa State last year, and they just got obliterated. It was like so many other years in the past, and KU had their bye week afterwards. And so we were asking Lance Leipold, hey, you got your bye week coming up. You're going to change things up. You know, what are you going to do, you know, to because of this embarrassment, basically? And he just looked at us and said, look, we all figured out what we want to do for the bye week on Thursday and Friday, and we have a plan in place. We're not going to change anything. Like, it's a long road. This was a disappointing result, but you don't change what you do. You don't panic. And I think for so many other KU coaches, when they went in the hiring process, previous ones, whether it was, you know, an AD got bamboozled in the interview process, or they were limited by buyout money and they didn't have much money to spend, or whether it was just a person that didn't have enough experience. I think in moments like that, KU previously had guys and coaches that panicked. And I just remember Lance Leipold did not panic. He just looked at them and said, we're going to do what we had planned to do, and nothing changes from this point, because mostly he has faith in himself and his own methods, that this has happened before to him. He trusts himself. He trusts his own process. And he's not going to go crazy in a time when the whole team could go crazy. So I thought that was a big moment. And then obviously KU beat Texas. They were competitive in their last three games, and there should be some optimism going into next year. Now, I think there's still a big gap between the rest of the Big 12 and KU, and part of that is a credit to the Big 12. But I do think for what Kansas needs in a program, they need stability. And I think based off that one example I talked about and based off what you saw from KU late in the season, that potentially now they have the stability they've been looking for.
And then as far as a kind of an Emporia tie-in, man, it was great to see Brandon Schneider have the year he had last year for women's basketball there.
Yeah, it was. I went up to talk to him and did a feature story on them last year. And, you know, he's pretty open and honest about this stuff. And just going back, I covered Brandon when I was at the Emporia Gazette. So, yeah, we do go back a ways. But he was pretty open about when he got to KU. And this is what I'm talking about a little bit with Lance Leipold, too, is you have to try to avoid taking shortcuts. And I think with Brandon, he sort of tried to do that with talent and sacrifice some of what had made him so successful, which was chemistry. And he learned that, I think, pretty quickly at KU that was not going to work. And so what he talked about so much this year is getting the roster to a place where everybody liked each other. He had no off-the-court problems, and everybody was pushing each other to get better. And all of a sudden you look up and they're a really, really good basketball team. So a big year for him. Obviously, I don't think I'm breaking any news to say that he was probably, you know, needed that year a lot to make the tournament and to keep his job secure. But, I think it's pretty right for him, and they have a lot of young players coming back next year. So potentially they could be just like the men's basketball team, looking to make the NCAA tournament pretty consistently over the next big stretch here, and obviously a huge year for him and what they were able to do and win the NCAA tournament, make it there, and be able to show some of the potential of what him and his coaching staff can do. I think that was a really big moment for him in his career, and obviously a big moment for the Jacks as well.
Jesse, one final question if I let you go, and not to put you on the spot, but when do you see this cloud from the NCAA that's over the head of the KU basketball program, when do we finally get some type of resolve to this?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one we've been watching for a long time here. I would think before the next basketball season starts, and I know we've been talking about months, not years, for a long time now, but I do think that this thing is going to get resolved before that basketball season happens, just so that everybody can have a little bit of closure with it. And to be completely honest with you, Tim, I think there were points here, even in the past few months, where this thing almost was resolved. But then for whatever reason, it kind of got further apart. You know, we kind of heard whispers of that where it was like, okay, this thing looks like there might be an agreement coming. And then, the two sides did not get there. So, it has dragged on so long, and it's something that, by the day looks even kind of more, I don't want to use the word foolish, but it seems sort of outdated now when we're talking about, hey, Billy Preston and his family potentially got paid, you know, $60,000. And now you're looking at, oh, hey, you know, K-State's Nigel Pack goes to Miami and get a 2-year, $800,000 deal. You know, it seems like a kind of a weird thing to still sort of look at and try to punish the team for what happened at the time. I know it was not legal at the time, and that's sort of the argument you make. Hey, if they put up a new speed limit sign of 45, but when you saw the 35-mile-an-hour speed limit sign, you went 50, then you still get the ticket, you know? So I understand that, and that in the moment, some of those things are alleged against them, they were not supposed to be doing, but, this thing needs to end, and it needs to be over with, there needs to be a resolution, and I would say here, the next few months, before next basketball season starts, we will know how this is going to turn out for Kate.
Any prediction on what the ultimate penalty will be when everything's said and done, whether it's, you know, they have to go through appeal or whatever. When it's all said and done, what do you think happens?
Yeah, so I think it's a tricky spot because I think the NCAA wants KU school to pay. You know what I mean? Like, this has been sort of their biggest case, and they want to make KU an example. But yet, I think the committee, the IARP, a lot of them have talked about, hey, punish the adults here. And if that needs to happen, make sure that the person that you're punishing is the one who did the crime. And so obviously the people that have been linked to this the most has been Bill Self and Curtis Townsend, you know, the assistant coach for Kansas. So I don't know where that falls. I would think that it's probably a hybrid of both of those. But I would say the person and the people who would potentially face the most punishment are going to be Bill Self and Curtis Townsend. But we know Bill Self, he's all about toughness. He's not going to run away from this. He's not going to run and hide or go take another job, most likely. He's going to stick this out and keep his chin up. And obviously winning a national title does a lot to help that. So if there's any way for him to sort of shield his program and maybe take a little bit more on himself to potentially not hurt the program as much, that might be something that's on the table, but I would think it's going to be hybrid. I would think that KU, maybe they'll lose a scholarship or two, maybe there'll be something with that, but I would think that the brunt of this is going to fall potentially on the coaching staff and the adults in this thing and not trying to punish, you know, players now that were in eighth or ninth grade when all this stuff came down.
Well, Jesse, I really appreciate your time. I think we could have gone on a lot longer. We'll be really, really thrilled to watch you as you cover the Chiefs and look forward to another great Chiefs season and, of course, look forward to your coverage. And just thanks again for your time this morning.
All right, Tim, thanks for having me.
All right, Jesse Newell, of course, again, native Emporia High grad, KU grad, and now the beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. Just quickly, Royals baseball today, 3:10 first pitch time. Royals have now won three straight ball games, so the Royals showing some signs of life. Again, our thanks to our Emporia High Female Athlete of the Year, Gracie Gilpin, for coming in the studio. Also to our Coach of the Year, Ping Wayne, the volleyball coach. Next week, we hope to get Cam Geitz, the Emporia High Male Athlete of the Year. Hope to have him in studio, visit with him for a few minutes. And again, thanks to Jesse Newell for his time this morning here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Oh my gosh, Scott, I'm sorry. I got to take a break, don't I? I'll take a break and come back and just wrap things up in just a couple minutes here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Okay, quickly wrapping up things here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. A golf note, of course, the men's and women's city golf championships, they were supposed to be this weekend, but because of all the rain we've received, that has been moved to August 6th and 7th. Again, enjoy Royals baseball this afternoon right here on KVOE 3:10, first pitch time against Baltimore. That will wrap things up here for this Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.